And welcome to another episode of Emo Owls Tune Talks. This week, I'm joined by Henry from Keep Flying. Keep Flying just put out their new record called Survival. Check it out on Spotify. Buy a copy of it online if you're able to. It's incredible, and it's probably my favorite work that they have ever done. When I set out to start this podcast, it was something I just wanted to do for fun in order to reconnect with people that I know through music, as well as hear their stories and hear more about how music is a part of their lives. And since we're still dealing with a global pandemic, it gave me a way to connect with these people since we can't go to gigs. There were a few episodes that I had in mind that I was, I guess, most excited about or most wanting to do, and Keep Flying, having someone from Keep Flying on is definitely one of those episodes. When I set out to do this and started making a list of like episode ideas, I really wanted to reconnect with a lot of the bands that I got to work with when I was living in Chicago, you know, including bands like Boys of Fall and Keep Flying, and I'm really, really lucky that, you know, I've been able to have these guys on my show, and this episode was a lot of fun to record. I haven't properly talked to Henry or any of the guys from Keep Flying in a good while, and I just really wanted to like celebrate their new album and chat with them. And Henry's been really supportive of me as an individual as well as so I just wanted to be able to do something to help highlight their new record and promote it. And this is what we came up with. It's probably going to be the longest episode I've recorded so far. We also had a bit of what you would call pandemic problems during the recording of it. Just a couple of Wi-Fi blips here and there. Done my best to clean all that up. But you know, as you know, pandemic problems, if you will. Anyways, this is my episode with Henry from Keep Flying. Listen to Survival if you haven't yet. And if you have, go listen to it again because it's a really great record. And Keep Flying are some of the best. And without further ado, here is this week's episode.
So, I was so excited to see how living in Scotland affected your voice, and it's instantly different. It's incredible. I was like, I want to see if she just took on the accent completely, and you did. So that worked out. That's so funny.
I had Boys of Fall on last week, and Eli was telling me that I haven't changed a bit. It's like you still sound like you. No.
He's 100% wrong. He's 100% wrong. I haven't changed a bit. Yeah, okay, sure.
Oh, man. Oh. So, how are you?
I'm all right. I'm pretty good. Mm-hmm. I'm in my house. I bought a house. And, you know, things are all right.
Yeah.
Starting to even out, you know. Got the work life situated. Got the dog life situated. Yeah, it's all coming together. It's a process.
Yeah,
it's a big win, but there's still a lot of like, you know, there's a lot of work to be done. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm prone to thinking that like you get to a certain point that you work for, and then it's like, oh, you can just chill now and just rest. But you can't. It never stops.
No. No, definitely not.
Yeah.
And you're quite far away from the band now, though, aren't you?
Yeah. Are we recording right now?
Yeah, we are.
This is all live. Oh, nice. Good. I was gonna say we should talk about this on the thing.
No, I've already started. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah. Good. Yeah, I'm far away from the band. I'm in South Carolina now, and then everybody's still in different. But I mean, we were always far apart. Because, like, we all lived in different sections of New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. So it's like, you know, we never all lived in, like, one town. It was never like that. So given, unfortunately, that there is no tour life at this point, it really makes no difference where on earth I am. So It's fine. You know, it's so I'm in South Carolina. I've already flown up for one event. We're already planning out different times in which I'm going to be up there for band stuff and just family stuff. All of our friends are still there. I mean, we have some friends down here, but, you know, it's mm-hmm. where we lived. Danny and I lived for, you know, our whole lives. So our whole life is up there.
Yeah.
So I'll be around. This would have been even less of a big deal if the pandemic wasn't happening. Honestly, I mean, it's a big deal now, and there's no tour again, like I said, so there's really nothing to run into in terms of like scheduling conflict, really. But like,
yeah,
you know, travel is fine. I've driven all over this country for so many years. I don't care about having a, you know, bomb drive to New Jersey or get on a plane. It's no big deal.
Yeah, like
my mug, my Sonic mug.
That's cute.
That's good. It's a good random gift from my wife. It's very nice.
Okay, so let's go ahead and start with the album, because Survival has now been out for 2 months.
It has, but it's so old. You know, because we recorded it a year ago. We finished recording it a year ago. Well, I mean, all right, this is going to be up on the internet. Have we even introduced who I am? Who the fuck is this guy?
Am going to do an intro later. I like to record those last.
Got it.
We're all good.
My fault for questioning the production. My bad. I know you got this.
Okay.
So I'm Henry from Keep Flying. That's it. Okay. I mean, yeah, so we finished recording it a year ago, and it was supposed to come out in the summertime, but the whole world is different, and so all the plans had to change. And then, but many of those songs I wrote 2 or 3 years ago,
or
at the very least started writing them 2 or 3 years ago. Because, like, you know, over the course of our record cycle, we put out the Walkabout EP.
Yep.
It took a while, but we put out Unbreakable like almost 2 years later. But like throughout the process of all that, I was working on a lot of these. But so many things occurred in my personal life that kind of hindered me and kind of kept me from, you know, focusing on the end of the band that matters most to me, which is the music. And so like, and I write about that a lot in Survival. Like it's you know. That's what Late Reply is kind of about. Ironically, it's like, this took forever to make. Sorry. And also, it's indicative of my entire life, as it took about 3 weeks to get this podcast to happen. So, so it's new. It's new to the listeners, but it's very old, at least to me. So, already time to move on.
Yeah, I mean, I saw on Chuck's, I think it's Instagram story like a couple days ago that, yeah, y'all recorded it and finished like a year ago. So what would have been the plans if it had come out this summer? Would you have been touring all summer and like done a big album release show? Like what would have, yeah.
Oh, it would have been the classic Keep Flying thing. I mean, we were trying to line up, obviously, support tours so we could be on the road with, you know, some bigger bands and really support it. And I really think that, sadly, I think that our momentum to all of that was really good. I mean, we got some pretty solid tours leading literally up until the pandemic. It happened the week we got home.
Yeah,
on the road with Real Big Fish and Big D. But like, you know, I mean, that would have been what we were aiming to do. Obviously, we would have done our release shows. We would have done what we always would have done.
Yeah.
Now that said, what I'm happy to say is that, you know, this pandemic has affected literally everybody on the planet.
Yep.
And you, especially, nobody cares. Nobody cares enough about the industry to help any of us get back to any semblance of work that we had, and it's been a year now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's sporting events. There's so much of the country is open. There are events that happen under certain, you know, certain guidelines, whatever. But for whatever reason, just the concert industry is nobody cares. And this is another. Yeah. I'm going on a complete tangent, but and get ready for that because that's how I podcast. Sorry,
that's fine. Like, I love it.
it's like, I've been really angry this week. I've been so mad. I just like the anger that everybody felt last year that I kind of put off because I was like, I get so, I'm not like super pro government at all. I'm punk rock. You know, I'm like, I always back in my mind believe like they have our best interests at heart. Let's all just follow and we'll be fine. It'll be cool. And now I'm like, yo, the Super Bowl happened, man.
Yeah.
Like basketball still happens. All these things still happen. It's like, how come we can't just use the same regulation, same social distancing guidelines in order for any of us to play a show? Not just me, anyone. Mm-hmm. Indoors. These are all indoor events. We were regulated to outdoor events all summer. Then the weather got shitty, and now we can't do it at all. And it's just, there's no allowance for it at all for some reason. You can do a comedy show, you can watch sports, you can do all these things, but like he can't play a show. And I realize for Keep Flying, it's like that would be a weird situation because we're so dedicated to making people be on top of each other for a half hour.
Yeah.
So it could be difficult for a band like us, but I'm saying any band. Yeah. Any band. Can I go see any show, please? Without feeling the guilt of should I be doing this? It sucks, man. So anyway. Mm-hmm. The plan would have been to be touring this out. And what the point I was trying to get at is the response of Survival has been very good.
Yeah.
And I feel like rather than losing steam that we had, our band is kind of on pause. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like our fan base, thank God, is so dedicated to us and they're so responsive and so kind to us and so willing to support us that I feel like we didn't lose anybody.
No.
We're having a hard time gaining people because we're so dedicated to tour. Like that's usually how we get the attention of new people, is being out in front of them so they get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're trying to be more internet savvy and trying to connect with new people that way. But again, it took me a half hour to log into Skype. So you can see how long how hard that process can be. But like we're on pause. So whatever momentum we had leading into it, we're just kind of even out. And that's not the case for every band, but I'm grateful that we are. I'm sorry. I talk a lot on these.
Oh, it's great. I love it. I love just having to say a couple of things and then you go off for like, I love it. I mean, I love how this is what I rounded my year out with. Like Survival came out at the very end of the year. And I think it's great because like Boys of Fall had released their new album like a month before. And then I started the year off with Louis Tomlinson. So I'm doing great. So like I ended it with Keep Flying and I was like so soaked about that. Like,
some people thought that record was written and created during the pandemic. I'm like, nah.
I mean, yeah, I was going to ask because like that's what happened with Boys of Fall. Like they... Again, they had a lot of that stuff kind of coming through the works before that, but the pandemic happened and they took lockdown to focus more and to take longer to record it. And I didn't realize how long you'd been sitting on some of these songs, or at least parts of some of these songs. I didn't realize it'd been 2 or 3 years in the making.
Oh, yeah. I started Late Reply. Late Reply and Interstate were conceived in 2018.
Jesus.
Like early 2018. So all these things all the stuff has happened since then. And the songs just never made it. Like Late Reply, I initially pitched for the Unbreakable record.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't feel like it was ready. It had to go through a lot of processing. It's changed a lot. That's how songs go. They evolve. I feel like the longer not that I want to sit on stuff for too long, but I feel like when I let it go through the creative process, it needs to, it becomes better. And based on where that song was when I first wrote it versus now, it's this is where it needs to be. So, but yeah, we made that well before any of this was going to happen. Or knew this was going to happen.
Yep.
And ironically, you know, again, the theme of it, the title we came up with during the pandemic, I think the survival thing.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to name it at all.
Okay.
John of the band came up with that. It was great.
Yeah. I was actually going to ask how that name came about. It seems very fitting. given what last year and now, I mean, this year, like what we're going through, survival is a, I think that's all anyone's trying to do right now. Like, people ask me how I am and I'm like, I'm existing. I'm trying, but that's about all I got for you right now.
It's true. It's true. And the thing about the thing that it's hard to explain to other people is that I understand that people, some people are in a privileged position where this pandemic is nothing more than an inconvenience.
Yeah.
And it's really just the mask thing. And if you're able to have kept your job, cool. Mm-hmm. If you're able to stay safe away from the virus, cool. So it's just kind of an inconvenience for some people, but I have not even taken a lot of the time, or I haven't been able to because of other things that COVID has affected in my life, to really process how absolutely devastating this is for the music industry at large.
Yeah.
It's, and because you're so, you are so musically minded, and you know, we are part of this show culture. And so it dominates much of what we do and what we're interested in, that it's like, if you're not depressed, you're just neutral.
Yeah.
You got to stay even.
Yep.
If, you know, not too happy, not too sad in order to survive. Because if you let I think I went like months without listening to any music. I think I was just like, you know, because I couldn't put on, if I put on like a Less Than Jake song or a Less Than Jake record or any bands, if I started listening to bands, I instantly get sad.
Yeah.
Because my thought would be, oh, I can't wait to see Less Than Jake again.
Yeah.
Or I can't wait to see, you know, Andrew McMahon again. Or I can't wait to see any of them again. I just get upset.
Yeah.
So, like, I just went months without listening to any music because I'm like, well, I need to pretend like this doesn't exist or I'm just going to break down every 3 minutes.
I feel that. Like, I had Slam Dunk coming up and, like, Grayscale was going to be on that. And, I don't even remember who I was going to be on at this point, but like we had tickets for that last year and then it turned into this year. And then I just clearly got a refund because I'm coming home. So I don't even get to go, but it's not happening this year. But like, I feel like I just entered a deep hole where I only listen to Louis Tomlinson and I ignore a lot of pop punk stuff because like, I don't get to see any of these bands for God knows how long. So it's like, I don't want to be reminded of the like past few years of our lives and how good it's been.
I totally agree. Oh, I've not listened to pop. The only the most listened to pop punk record I have at this point is ours, because I just, it's like I can listen to this and be happy because I honestly listen to it to, you know, to, because I miss my bandmates and I'm like, oh yeah, well, I remember them. And I just, but any pop punk records, no offense to especially smaller bands, I'm sorry, I haven't out anything. I'm sorry. I just can't.
Yeah.
I cannot. And I appreciate those who check out us. Thank you. Appreciate you. Thank you. But like, I'm slowly getting back to a point now where I'm like, I have to start listening to music again. Like I was so dedicated to podcasts and just like and watching shit because it's an entertainment where I don't have to be reminded of the world that isn't mine anymore. Yeah. And so I'm getting back to it.
So speaking of going back to like writing and recording the record, what is your process like for writing and recording? Like, is it just you and then you come to the guys, or like, how do y'all go about getting songs ready?
Most of the time it's conceived by me in some way. And then, I kind of build the skeleton or the foundation, if you will, to a song, like lyrically, kind of the basic idea of the arrangement that can change, especially since, you know, we got to work with Nick and Ace on this one again. And so they're really good at chopping up songs if they need to, you know, in terms of like this bridge should go here. This chorus can go here. We can take these four bars, put them over here. Like they're good at what they do. And, that's what I conceive initially. I don't really write horn lines. If I have something that works in my mind, like that's cool, but like I don't play the horn.
Yeah.
So it's like I don't try to step into anybody else's world in terms of what they can do creatively. So I don't want to. And I find that the product has been better when we collaborate as a group rather than it being like I wrote that part. Everybody should feel comfortable with the parts that they create.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a dictator when it comes to this stuff. I feel like the part that I do dominate is the lyrical content.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I'm okay with that, and most people seem okay with it.
Yeah.
And again, if somebody has a line, that's cool. If I, mm-hmm. like, you know, if there's, you know, there'll be times when I have the first verse, but not the second yet. Mm. Even, yeah. But that's enough to show them. If I have a first verse and a chorus, okay, you get the idea, and then we'll fill in it as it comes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll write like a light bass line. If Chuck comes up with something cooler, go for it. I won't write leads because I'm not really a shredder. So Charlie, go ahead. And then, I was thinking a horn part can go here, but I don't know what it is. John, go ahead. So that's what I do.
Yeah,
that's kind of how it works overall.
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely works best if everyone has a say in it as best as they can. So how has it been without your brother? Like, because he left the band a while ago, and like that was quite shocking for me to hear.
Yeah, well, you know, he and I are not just bandmates.
Yeah.
So we're always going to be in each other's lives. And
yeah.
And, you know, the two of us have been through a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Over the course of the band happening, we lost our home. Our mom was sick for a long, long time.
Yeah.
All of my adult life. And so, you know, MS and everything she had was, it's a disease that is chronic. So it just keeps getting, you know, worse and worse and more debilitating. And so she would, God went through a lot.
Yeah.
You know, we lost our house. And then, you know, she had quite a major stroke, which initially we thought, you know, when that happened, like, you know, we thought she was going to go right there. We were very blessed in having her for 2 more years.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout those 2 years, though, you know, it was tough because we still wanted to be dedicated to the band, and we wanted to try to, you know, keep her healthy and figure out what to do and give her a good quality of life and everything. And we had to move again.
Yeah.
And then, you know, this year she passed away. And mm-hmm. you know, we the two of us outside of just the band stuff it's been a lot. And so, you know, it was for the best that he stepped away so that he could, you know, pursue other things and get, you know, his stuff together, and we could get our stuff together. And the band stuff is just like a whole other thing. But it was hard on everybody. And he and I are still working through a lot of stuff, but you know, we're dedicated to still being good. And in terms of this, I mean, this was, you know, this record, you know, I had collaborated with him for everything. Like Survey Says, it was me and him, and then up until this record, it was, you know, it was me and him. And so this was different, but therefore, it was good. It was a good different though. I was worried about it at first. It's like, let's, you know, I'm worried that it's all, you know, not that it's all on me. I have a band, but like, you know, it's a different process. But I think the product, honestly, because of how much, I think because of the extra time that I put into it, I really think it might be my favorite stuff so far. So I'm really proud of it. Yeah. You know?
Would you say it's the best representation of Keep Flying? Because it's the first like longer record you've put out.
It's not that long. It's only 19 minutes.
Yeah, it's still short, but it's longer than some of the other stuff.
I'd say that it's the, I think a good record is a snapshot of where a group is at that time. And I think that this is where we are. And I think that, you know, I think it's a natural progression,
mm-hmm.
Even with the personnel changes. And so, honestly, yes, I do. These songs still hang whatever ones people like from the old shit, which isn't all that old. It's only, it is 5 years old, which is crazy. I was looking back on it, I was like, man, we've been in this band for 5 years. That's insane. I still feels like I just started it. So it's crazy.
Yeah. So then what are your favorite songs on the record?
Well, let's see. hang on.
I remember when I texted you, when it came out, you asked me what I thought of Fashion Statement, because you said that you were really stoked about that one.
Oh, yes. Okay. So, I was just getting a prop. So my copy of the special orange edition, limited to 100. It's sold out. Sorry. People try to buy my copies. don't do that. Well, I love them all, but yeah. I'll limit my answer to two. So okay. I think Surviving the Night, I don't want to say it's my favorite. I have two answers to your question. I think the best song is Late Reply.
Okay.
I think that's the jewel of the record, personally. I think like that one is like, I think that showcases everybody in the band really well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Charlie was really excited to do some lead singing.
Yeah.
And I just think it's really good. And yeah. I just like listening. I like listening to everybody on it. I like listening to everybody individually. I like listening to it like that. Surviving the Night, I think, is my new lyrical favorite.
Okay.
I think that, you know, I got to go deep on that one. I got to be really emotional recording it.
Yeah.
And I just that's the deepest I dug in a, mm-hmm. in a while. Clean. The reason why I brought up Fashion Statement is because I really, like, on purpose tried to write. What's that?
You said you wanted to write like a catchy punk song. Is that it?
Yeah. Like a band. Like, I wanted to write a song that could hang with like a Neck Deep, or a Champs, or a Real Friends, or something like that. Because I know that it's like that anyway. But I really tried with that one. I was like, I just want to see, and not in a way that I thought was like disingenuous. I didn't want to like write it for the fans, or like, not because I don't like believe in the song, and like, let me just try to write a pop song. But it's just like, let me see if this can hang with them. I think it does. I hope so. It came out really good. I don't know why, but that one I really challenged myself to like do something different.
I mean, yeah. I don't even know what my favorite is on the album. I think I liked Surviving the Night the most lyrically. I think I said that on the night it came out, that was, but I also liked Fashion Statement and Late Reply. So
there's not that many songs. So. I just think it's, I don't know. I'm really pleased with how it came out. And mm-hmm. I'm really glad that people took to it. The only mm-hmm. regret, it's not even a regret. I just wish that we could tour on it.
Yeah.
I want to play songs. Like, we've only done it once ever.
Yeah.
So
you've done a couple of like virtual events to celebrate the album, at least. Like, you did the live stream the mm-hmm. night it came out, just kind of like everyone like chatting and stuff. But then you did like the actual like gig type live stream not too long ago, didn't you?
Yeah, we got to do a show.
Mm-hmm.
Show we did almost a year, and it almost went perfectly.
Almost. Know. What happened?
Oh, the bass stuff messed up like it always does. It's honestly at this point part of the Keep Flying show. I think people that have seen us enough know it's like it's kind of almost our. If we could make it a bit, it won't be as like annoying.
Yeah.
Sorry. But like if we could actually work it into the show and have it not be like a complete hindrance anymore, then you know, I won't feel so bad. But there was that, you know, it was our first live playing thing ever. We had not played together since March 8th, I think, of 2020.
Yeah.
And we had never played any songs off Survival Live ever. Never. Never happened. Even after we recorded it, we're like, should we play any new ones? And we didn't. We finished recording it, went on tour, didn't play any of those songs, and we'd mm-hmm. never played them live ever. And we opened the show with the whole record.
Yeah.
So that was nerve-wracking. And it was the service our boy shout, you know, salute to Livest, who put us on. That's our guys in the band Shakeout from Yonkers. Check them out. They started like a live streaming service, I guess you would call it.
Yeah.
And it was their first time too. So, you know, there's a couple kinks in the beginning, and then it all worked out. It was fine. This is the first 5 minutes didn't go exactly how we wanted, but we should have anticipated that. That's fine. But overall, it was fun. I hadn't seen them in months.
Yeah.
I got to go, you know, I got to go see New Jersey again. I hadn't been up there in 2 months, and so that was cool. And, you know, it all worked out. It was fun. It was cool. Good time.
Yeah. So are there any things, if you're listening to the album now, is there anything you would have changed if you got to go back and like redo the album at all?
Nah, not really. Actually, there's like one really tiny mistake that made the record. It's such a small thing that like most people don't even notice, but like there's in the song They Never Lie Down, there's like this, there's this guitar part right before the end bridge.
Uh-huh.
That was supposed to have like some kind of effect on it, and it just didn't. So it's like, it's right before like the jump part. Mm-hmm. It's like this one little part where it's like one little guitar part with absolutely no effect on it. Because we got the mix back, and there was some horrible effects that were on there with, what the fuck was that? Like, I wish I could release it and someone show people like, here's what it's like to get a mix back. Sometimes some weird stuff happens. And so you're like horrible, like weird, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like a weird phasey wah-wah kind of type of effect on this guitar part. It's only like a 3 second part. It's nothing. It's nothing.
Yeah.
It was just so jarring and distracting that we're like, can we fix that? Not without taking everything away from it. So it's just no effect guitar. And then somebody complimented, they're like, oh, that's a really cool thing you did. I was like, yeah, it was really cool. We did nothing. It was a complete mistake. So yeah, I'm probably go back and make that part the way I wanted it to be.
That's but, so funny.
That's about it. But tracking went really well. And there's nothing on there that I'm like, short of that part. It's not like I played it wrong. I didn't play it incorrectly. It's just that there was just, it got recorded kind of for that. I don't really think. I think I sang pretty good. I think I played pretty well. I think everybody played extremely well. I think came out pretty good.
Well, that's good. Yeah. So you brought out your vinyl and you said it was the orange one. You did a very interesting release of that variant. Was it the different cities over the course of a weekend? You're like, it's limited to so many. And were you like going around and like giving them, like, how did you come up with the whole thing?
Here's what we did. So this was supposed to be, this was going to be the album release show variant, meaning that there was not going to be, is this wrapped? Can I open it? Oh, no. Okay, I don't ever open mine.
That's fair.
So this has the, this has the screen printed front. Mm. We did what's called the for each variant. Each variant comes with its own special challenge coin. So there's little coins right here. I don't know if you can see that. Song established 2016. This is the orange one. So, I dropped it again. God damn it. So this would have been only available on Long Island for the, well, inevitably our Amityville Music Hall release show. It would only have been 100 because we did a release show variant for Unbreakable 2. We love collector's shit. We love doing stuff. But obviously, we could not do a release show this year. So what we wanted to do, in order to connect with people. And that's the thing that's so hard about this whole thing is that our band is so about like connectivity with our audience on a real level. And being, that's why we tour so much. That's why we're in your town like every 3 to 4 months all the time. You know what I mean? Like that's because we're all about seeing these people and That's what's so hard about this whole thing. Anyway, we want to be able to do something like that and be safe. Our band really has taken social distancing very seriously. I mean, I know other, you know, other bands, other people have their own ways of going about it and their own take on the situation. But like we really want to be respectful to everybody's situation. And the best way to do that is to really be like, okay, we're going to limit how much we even see each other. The first time we shot some videos this year, but I didn't touch anybody. I stayed far away. We have different ways. Yeah, I try to be as good about it as I can.
Yeah.
And we wanted to do this special thing with everybody while also, again, being respectful. So what we did is that each of us, since we're all spread around the country, scheduled, you know, little meetups to get one of these. So in like a lot of our bases. So I was only able to be one because I'm down here in South Carolina, but we went to like outside of venues we would play.
Yeah.
You know, and almost made it try to look like it's a tour, like it's an event. Like, hey, we're going to be there. And we weren't like giving out hugs. Like we'd have like a table.
Yeah.
We put the records out, and then it was first come, first serve. You either get there, you get one, or you don't. We sucked that I didn't have to, but like some people had to turn people away.
Wow.
And be like, yeah, sorry, we're out, you know?
Well,
we don't lie. We're like, you know, some bands, when they post like, hey, it's close to selling out, that's a lie. I want you to know. That's a lie. We don't really lie about that. We're like, we only have 100. So get there. And some people are like, some people showed up. They're like, you have more. Can you ship me one? We don't.
No.
This is mine. I'm not going to give it to you. Sorry. Some people lucked out. Some people did get shipped to them. And we try to. Try. Hey, can you send me one? Okay, I'll try.
Yeah.
But we can't. Yeah. So yeah. So the Peter and John mostly traveled to certain different like areas of like New England and New York.
Yeah. You
know, that we would frequent when we were playing shows. And go see a lot of people that we haven't seen in a while. And again, everybody's masked, all like it's on the table, you grab it. Everybody was cool. I don't ever want people to think that we're not taking it seriously. I know some people got shows and they get slammed and I'm like, oh man. And we try not to do too much also because we don't want to get it. You know, we don't want to the problem. So, but it was a really cool thing that we got to do. I got to see some people from this area that came out and grabbed their copy.
Yeah.
Everybody. It was a really cool event that we did. And, you know, I'm not saying that all bands should do that, but like I think it was a pretty key flying thing to do.
Yeah, definitely.
Fucking of course. Weirdos.
It's definitely sad to not get to hug you guys. I think I would have been a little disappointed, but it's safe, you know? Like, at least it's better than, like, it's so hard to connect over, like, virtual events. Like, if you do a live stream, yeah, it's fun. People are in the chat and blah, 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 but it's not quite the same as even being able to physically be in the same space as someone. Like...
I agree. Oh, I'm like, I've been... You know, salute to people who are doing what they can do. I am not at all trying to discourage anybody who wants to or is able to do any sort of way to connect with their audience musically.
Yeah.
And we do what we feel is appropriate and what we like to do, what we think our fans will like.
Yeah.
So far. You know, we're probably going to have some more of those we call them the town hall meetings, where we're just on here talking essentially to each other while people watch.
Yeah.
You know, and I have a bunch of ideas. I'm trying to get, this will be my studio. This is my office. I have my computer over here, but like, I need to like get some new gear. We're going to operate more in the digital space moving forward because we should anyway, like pandemic side, that's really where content creation is, and so we're going to operate within that space, and now we kind of have to because there is no shows. But let me go on the record and say that it is really hard for me to get into a lot. And said, I'm glad we did ours. It was really fun. I'm so glad our fans had fun. And we will continue to look into doing it as time goes on. And I had a great time. However, as a fan, I do agree that it is difficult to have as much fun, obviously, with that experience.
Yeah.
I love the innovation that bands have had in terms mm-hmm. of making it more fun and, you know, and making it interesting. I'm really happy to see people be creative, but like, ultimately, I don't think I speak for everybody here, but like for me, I just get really upset and really depressed. And I'm like, I just want to be at a show. Sorry. You know what I mean? That's just all I want to be doing is either playing. I want to see my bands play. And it's just, you know, and we're so behind. I don't know how your country over there is handling things, but seriously, people take it. But it's a mixed bag over here. There you are. You're back.
Okay. Yeah, you froze. Yeah, we're both back. Everything's fine. And I'll edit that out. So it's
fine. No, that's fine. So my question was, do they enforce that, number one? And number two, does Scotland have a way to keep those businesses open for when this is over? Or are they just letting them die out like you're on your own? Like, how does that work?
So everyone is definitely trying to enforce all these rules as much as possible. There are fines if you get caught doing any of this stuff that you're not supposed to. There are definitely like police fines. And I feel like people's like neighbors are starting to get a little bit more antsy. And like if they see you doing something that they think you're not supposed to, there have been people who've called the cops on people. Sure. And like I've had friends, you know, the police have come to their house and like so-and-so called, says you're like breaking protocol or something. And the thing is like, you don't exactly know the situation if they actually are, but it looks like you are. So people are getting more antsy about that. So there's definitely been like checks and things in place for like, if you get caught or if you are breaking the rules, there's fines involved. As for businesses, there is a lot of like big, huge, like packages of money and shit, you know, like, and people are getting some kind of support because we have a furlough scheme as well. So like if you're can't work because your business is closed and you're on furlough, then like the government is essentially paying part of your wage, so the company doesn't have to pay it and then lose more money by like having to pay people's wages, but even though they're not working. But I don't think it's enough for a lot of smaller businesses at the end of the day. Because, like, if you're a bigger company with more resources, I don't exactly know how you get the money you get. Like, how are they deciding who gets what and how much they get and for how long? So I do worry about what will be alive when places start opening again and if they'll survive longer, if they'll have to shut indefinitely when they start to open again. Like, I don't know.
Right.
So, yeah. Yep.
that's just all I got. I'm just thinking back on all the venues that are closed here. There's so many that I'm just, you know, we're never gonna see again unless some millionaire gets a wild hair up his ass and just wants to
you know,
some eccentric person wants to just put these music venues back together when it's all over.
Yeah.
It's just you know, I don't know anything about economics. I'm a complete moron. I know nothing. But I operate under this dumb assumption that money is fake.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not real. So why don't you just say this. When you say it's okay to open, you just let us open.
Yeah.
Like, okay, guess what? You don't have to pay electric this week. You don't have to pay these bills. It's fake. It's fake. It's not real. So it's like, just, if you want them to be closed, fine, close them. But like, okay, by the way, you have no overhead to worry about.
Yeah.
Because you're not open. Because you exist. Make it enough. Don't pay anything. Don't make them pay anything.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I know that's completely, that's the rantings and ravings of an absolute lunatic. I don't understand how the world works. But I just don't get it, man. I don't understand. I don't understand.
Okay, anyways.
Anyway, sorry. This is where I'm at. Like, I've just spent the last week just being so mad. I wasn't really upset. I had so much going on this year personally that I didn't really have enough time to process, like, any of this. I didn't have time to process, like, the fact that the industry that I work in is, like, essentially gone. And yeah. What an asshole I sound like. I don't even have a job in the industry. I just have a band. Like, I got friends who work for companies that have to, yeah, that put on, they have no, you know, they get their paychecks from this. I don't. Not really.
Yeah.
Like, you know, my income is not dependent on my band. God. Mm-hmm. I'd be homeless. Well, I've been homeless. I've been through a lot this year, is my point. Mm. So it's like, you know, I didn't even have time to focus on, like, how fucked up a lot of this shit is. And now that I'm my life is a little more evened out, now I'm like, this is horrible.
Yeah.
I'm just sorry. I'm just so upset. I know you have a line of topics and stuff. I'll let you go back to your.
I rewatched the 3 music videos that you've put out for this record, and I guess my main question is, what the fuck? They're so wild. They're so random. Please explain, at least Late Reply, definitely. Like, that looked like it was a wild time to film.
It was fun.
Yeah.
That had been the most fun I'd had. I think we did that, I don't remember when. It was sometime in the summer, I think.
Yeah.
And that was the first time we hadn't seen each other since the lockdown.
Yeah.
We had like a month of lockdowns. That's what it was. That's all it was. I hate when people even say, oh, lockdown. You can still go to the store. You're going to sorry. I told you I'm mad. I can't help. That was we did Late Reply and, you know, Fire Sale is more of a serious video, but it was still really fun to do.
Yeah.
But I hadn't seen anybody except for my coworkers and my customers at that point.
Yeah.
For months. And so that was really fun to see everybody. And Late Replies, that was our first attempt at being funny in a music video. Like, a lot of our videos, you know, tend to err on the serious side, and that's cool.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. I like it personally because, you know, a lot of our songs err on the serious side. We're really goofy guys, but like, I write write about my feelings, and my feelings are dark sometimes. So it's that's just where we're at, you know. And so our videos usually take on that same feel. But like, Late Reply was our first attempt at comedy, and it won't be our last, I'm telling you. So, you know, because we really like doing that. That's really something we want to do. It's part of more of our entertainment. So,
yeah.
That was a really cool idea. I think it was a really good idea for that works within our lockdown culture too. So, and I think and most people who come see us on tour know that we're just goofy all the time. Yeah. We are a band of big personalities, which is a gift and a curse. It's really hard to organize and manage our personalities.
Yeah.
All really insane, and that can cause insanity for ourselves and everyone around us, but also it can oftentimes be really entertaining.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
It was definitely the silliest I think I've seen y'all probably. I mean, I haven't seen you in almost 2 years, but that was the silliest I'd seen y'all acting. Like, it was good. It looked like it was a riot.
It was a great time. It was fun to play dress up.
Yeah.
It was fun to make something, simply to make someone, you know, in these dark times, we just really wanted to make people, you know, just laugh.
Yeah.
And then Upside Down is kind of the same thing. I mean, that was meant to be a fun thing, and that was a, you know, big salute to our nerdy friends, which we have and are. Not all of us play D&D, but like, and stuff like that in the band. So we kind of had to give them a, like, here's what it looks like to play D&D. You know, it was really neat. I want to do, like, we did like slight animation for that one. It was really exciting for me to see. So I want to do more of that kind of shit. That was really cool. And we have, I think we have two more coming. We're keeping it moving.
Yeah.
We're working on some shit. Video wise, right. I mean, we set out years ago to be like, we want a video for every song. And so, like, that's what we're trying to do.
Okay, that'll be interesting. So I'm trying to think how many. So Surviving the Night, is that one of the ones you're working on?
We will be, not yet.
Okay. You will get to that one.
We haven't gotten together to do that yet. We have a whole idea for that one.
Ooh.
Again, it's like, we don't want to, you know, some ideas we have that can work within the confines of the pandemic. And then sometimes we have to reel ourselves in because, like, some days I just forget. I'm like, why don't we just play a show? Why not? Nobody else is. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. Cause probably shouldn't do
we
that.
We can't.
Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, why don't we just do this? I'm like, oh yeah, we can't, you know, but we also don't want to, shortchange our ideas and try to compromise so much that it's not good because we want it to be good. So, like, we have how many more do we have to do on this record? I think we only have two more to do. The next one's like why don't we wait until we have whatever we need to make it good? I don't want to give anything away. So it's like, there's going to be a video for every song.
Okay.
And more song. You'll see.
Oh, boy. Okay, so what about the album artwork for this? It's so sick. How did this come about? Who did it?
To Chris Pappas. Well, this is Pappas right here. And we are just so blessed to have friends that are so artistic and so creative and also understand what, like, connect enough with what the music is to make the art reflect it. And it's just like, I can't really speak about it too much because this is not my area. I can't draw. I can't write. I can't even like tell you my vision for what I want something to look like. So this, I'm not positive if we even gave him any like direction. I think we just sent him the record.
Yeah.
And we're like, listen to this. And we trust him enough and a handful of other artists in our camp that like make stuff for us to be like, you know, get inspired. What do you see with this? And then they come back with something so cool, you know, and like, we love Easter eggs and stuff. I don't know if you guys can see, but like right there, it's LTDA. You can find those right there. It's Live Together, Die Alone. Like that'll appear on stuff all the time. Over here is a callback to an old Keep Flying song called Candy Cane Forest. You know, like little stuff like that. It's just really cool. And then that kind of stuff pops up on our artwork all the time.
Yeah. Like
our posters and things, even stuff that's not necessarily on releases. So I can't even like go into detail about how that's done because it's so not my department. But like Chris Pappas, Leighton Stollard, handful of other artists that do a lot of our stuff, are just they're so fucking good. I'm so grateful that they are dedicated to being on our team the way that they are because they never let us down. So awesome. It's the first time I've seen our logo in letters that I liked, I was like, okay, that could be the new lettering because we, hang on, let me get my other one.
Your old variant.
Yeah, like that one. I love this one. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I like mine, especially when we need something that we can use all the time that people recognize. I mean, that's where the plane comes in.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I realize the plane is used for a lot of different things. There it is. Love to see. There we go. You know, like that's our mascot, our icon. Our icon. But like, I love this lettering, but this is the first time I've seen lettering of Keith Lyon that I was like, okay, we can make that one the new one, you know, like the updated one. And it was a debate too, because initially, because I wanted this to be, let's call it the third of a trilogy. Let's call it this way, because like these two, like the way that we did the artwork to make them kind of match. Initially, I was thinking that we could do it one more time, but they kind of talked me out of it, which is okay. That's fine. No regrets. There to be like a third one of these. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, like a third one from the old EPs. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, with the frame. You know what I mean? Because the next record might not be an EP. It might be a full length, you know? So
yeah.
I wanted to close the chapter on this era. But this is the new era, you know? So we're, you know what I'm
saying?
We're
already in the new era.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, I think the new album artwork, I think it looks way cooler than like the black and white like photo. Like, as much as I like the old ones, like I think this one was so artistic and like so creative, and it just looks so good.
I agree. It was you know, and that's where I need people on my team that are able to reel me in when I especially like actually artistically, not maybe. And musically too. I come up with some pretty crazy stuff sometimes. I want to get in with them. Like, they're like, Henry, that's not a good idea. We shouldn't do that. I'm like, okay. All right. I need to be kept in check.
That's fair. It's
cool not to do another copy paste album artwork. So I was like, okay, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. But that's why I need, that's why it's so important to have, you know, awesome people on your team. Band.
Yeah.
Like, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, go on. I'm sorry. Cut you off.
So you mentioned some about, you know, you're working on like new, you're going to work on videos for the other songs and like blah, blah, blah. But what are your goals for the future of the band? You can think about that in relation to COVID or outside of COVID, whichever way you want.
I mean, musically, I know what our next stuff's gonna be. Again, I don't want to give anything away, but like there's gonna be some new stuff coming out this year, like pretty soon actually. I think springtime.
Yeah.
And nothing too crazy, but something. And then I'm working on something that I would like to get recorded this summer.
Okay.
And then after that, probably it might be full length time. We'll see. It really depends. Because the problem is, it's like, I don't want to go to, I really want to push Survival as far as we can. If there's any chance to play shows on Survival, I would like to. We might not be able to get that opportunity. I don't know. I really don't. But like, I love this record so much. I don't want it to be forgotten. Like, I feel like, you know, if another year goes by before shows happen again, which I really think is going to be the case, I think it's going to be 22.
Yeah.
Anything's going to be even close out to what it was before.
Yeah.
You know, I think by then, just given how the music industry works, we're going to need to do another record cycle. And so I feel like at that point, we might be on to the next one. And then I'm like, Survival is so good. It's going to be forgotten. It's going to be the one that one that never got, you know, the proper treatment in terms of promotion. Because again, our greatest tool of promotion, look how fucking out of shape I am now. Oh my God. I'm wrecked. And I was so fit right before, I'm sorry. I just want to give it the treatment it deserves. I just know that it's like a proper touring, a proper touring cycle on this record would kill. It would be so good. I would just be like, compared to what we were doing with the momentum, that's lost out. That's like our big thing. Again, I feel blessed that we still got to, we were still able to get this record out to people who were already following us and maybe get a few new years along the way. But like, I just wish that, fuck, open a tour on this record would be so fucking cool.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. You know, we're just like everybody on the planet. We're taking it, you know, pretty much one day, 1 week, 1 month at a time and seeing what happens. There's no way to predict it. Mm-hmm. But there is a way to still create. So we can make music, we can plan this out. And, you know, it's always ebb and flow is what the plan's going to be, but there is one, there is a plan. Mm-hmm.
Of course. Is there a, I guess since you said it may be full length time, is there any real reason you haven't done a full length yet?
Yeah, there's a few.
Okay.
I think that first of all, I really, full lengths are not what they used to be.
Okay.
I think that you know, this may be back in before your time, but long ago, you know, punk bands. Or bands in general, it wouldn't be weird for them to put out like a 14 to 18 song record. That's not weird. But now, and I think rightfully so, I think that it's actually better for things to be more compact and more short and sweet. Like even if we put out a full length, it's not going to be long. It's not going to be that long. We're talking, I mean, this record is 19 minutes. I think that if we were to put out a 19... I think if we put out a full length, it probably wouldn't be more than like 30 something.
Yeah.
And it would be like a, you know, a tight 10 to 12 song record.
Of course.
And I think that's enough. I think that people's attention span is so bad that you can't, unless every single one is slamming, which we want to do. I'm all about quality over quantity. I don't want to just have filler songs and shit like that. But that's another reason why too. I'd rather spend time crafting like five incredible songs than be like, well, this one, you know, is like bonus track worthy. You know what I'm saying? Like I you know, there's a time and place for that. There's times where, you know, some of my favorite songs by bands or band or songs that like they wrote, put on a record and never thought of again. But like in terms of Keep Flying, I don't want to do that necessarily. I don't want to load people up with too much at once. And so,
yeah,
there's science behind it too. Like you can see how people listen to your streams, like how much of the record they listen to. And actually walk about in survival, it's like we're able to keep their attention for those 20 or so minutes. Like people listen to the whole thing, and that's what I want. I don't want anybody to be like, well, the first four tracks, you know, are good. And then it kind of peters out like a lot of records do. I'm not, you know, and that's just the truth of the matter.
Mm.
Some bands can't keep your attention with, you know, for too long. I want to be able to keep people's attention that long. So when it comes to a full length, I want to accomplish that within a longer space of time. And that's a challenge, you know?
Yeah.
So I want to make sure that it's right. And, you know, there's sometimes pressure to sign and do your full length on a record label. I have absolutely no interest in doing that. There's no point.
Mm-hmm.
We're not at a point now where we're just not at a point where it makes any sense to cut anybody else into our business unless it means certain things.
Yeah.
You know, I think that I could be talked into a label deal or some kind of management deal or something if it meant that we could do these tours, if it meant that we could do these festivals, if it meant that we could do this much traveling, this much, if it meant, unfortunately, you know, I wouldn't say unfortunately, if it meant that there was value, there was something, we're getting enough back that we can cut a label or some kind of agency or whatever into our business, which we don't need. We're so independent because you know, we put in all the work ourselves and with our team, but we get all of the returns, everything.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that we make like a lot of money. We don't. it's not like we're talking like money that can, you know, I didn't buy this house with Keith Lyon money. But like there's just no point.
I don't
see the point. Mm-hmm. I think that the general public doesn't understand what a label does. The label's like an investor. They're investing you, and they help with certain things, but they get, depending on what you negotiate, a big part of your returns on that investment. They want to make money. You know, mm-hmm. nobody's in business to lose money.
Nope.
So, you know what I'm saying? So there's really, at this point, no point. So I also have missed, I also am not sure how I feel about putting a full length out on our own though, because I don't know. I don't see the point. So I don't know yet. I'm still working it out in my head.
That's valid.
Out of my head. I don't know. Again, a pre-COVID world, I could be talked into it if there was certain conditions.
Yeah, of course.
If it meant that our audience would grow that much, if it really helped. But now I don't know. I honestly have no idea. So, but on the other hand, I also, as a creator, I sound like such a jerk off when I talk, as whatever you want to call me, as me, I like the challenge of maybe making a full length. I haven't made one in, I have so many props. I haven't written a full length since this one, the last Survey Says record, you know, and this was only 11 songs, but like, you know, again, it was like a 35 minute record, I think. So it would be cool to challenge myself and challenge my band to do it just for the fun of it. Just to see what we could, just to see what a Keep Flying full length sounds like, you know?
Yeah. Wow. I didn't even know the name of your former band.
That's good, because some people, and I'm not taking this away from any of them. Some, you know, that Survey Says ended, you know, we tried to make it. So it was like that ended, Keep Flying started. There was no in between. We had a funeral and a birth in the same day. That's where that comes from. So it's like, you know, some people know me from that and then followed me to Keep Flying. Some people have no idea who Survey Says is, and that's good, because like, when we first started the band, you know, we kind of relied on that.
Yeah.
Oh, do you remember Survey Says? Yeah, it's his new band. You know, like that, you know, but I love that there are people that have no clue. That's good. Yeah. It's a good thing. So I love to hear that, actually. That's awesome.
Is there anything, I guess, to wrap up that you would like to say about the album, the band, any final comments before we log off?
Nah, yeah, the album's great. Band's great. Everybody should listen to it. It won't take up a lot of time in your day. It's 19 minutes. You can even skip the intro if you want. That's a whole minute cut off.
No, don't do that. You got to listen to it in full.
Don't skip the intro. It's awesome. I love the intro.
You definitely got to listen to it from beginning to end to get the full effect. I mean,
that's another thing too, to expound on what you said. It's like, though, I write records as full pieces. Like, I try to structure them as if they're one thing. Like, even though each song is, you know, conceptually different, whatever. I try to sculpt the EP to work as one piece. Also, like, you know, as much as I like to have the songs work individually. Mm. And so I'm challenged to make a longer version of that. So that's where I don't know. But I like a challenge though, so that's good.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess we'll just have to see what the future holds.
That's right. Who the fuck knows? But to close it out, Emo Al. No, just listen to the band. That's all. That's all I want people to do.
Listen to Keep Flying. It. We love them. I love them. Like, I love you guys.
We love you, Al. We're gonna see you. And you know what? I'm so glad. It's been like 2 years since this conversation, right? There was like it was Worcester, Massachusetts, and you, so young, were just like, I don't want to go to Scotland. And I said, Al, you're being afforded an opportunity that so many people would love to have.
Yeah.
So please go and enjoy it. Now, I must ask you, do you see what did it work out to be that way? I'm hoping you have no regrets, no like, I shouldn't have done this. I'm hoping that it was as magical and wonderful as it could have been. Is it? Was it?
Outside of the pandemic that no one could have, guessed was going to happen.
We're not talking about that.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
I got to see some incredible places, like the Isle of Skye up here in Scotland. Like, if it wasn't for coming here, I wouldn't have met Louis Tomlinson. Like, there's some cool stuff that happened, and like, things are never perfect, but like, this was probably one of the best decisions I could have made. And even though coming back is not what I wanted for myself, I know I'm coming back to a really big family, and I have a lot of people on my team in all parts of the country. So like, I'm coming back at a good place, you know? Like, I still have you guys, like, you also haven't forgotten me. I still have, like, you know, Chuck and all my friends in, like, Chicago as well. It's like, everyone's still there. So I'm coming back to a really good thing, even though I didn't initially want to come back. So.
Right. So you didn't want to come back. And then, and when you left, you didn't want to go.
Yeah.
See? I'm happy for you. You've grown so much. Your voice is different. And this was good, man. And you've been really good about, you know, you're very good about being in touch with me and everybody.
Yeah.
And I love that for you. That's good. And so I'm glad that you saw that, you went really far away, but, your connections are able to withstand that distance, and that's good. So I love that for you, and that's awesome.
I'm really excited.
I wish you would, not that I don't want you to, come back home, but like, you should stay. I don't know. Again, every part of the country is different. I'm down here. The way that this is handled here versus New Jersey is vastly different.
Yeah.
And I trust you. Trust me when I say it, it's handled. The amount of people that I'm like, oh, I'm in South Carolina. They're like, oh, it must be COVID central. I'm like, no, man. Like, at least where I am in Columbia, like, it's a city. It's pretty liberal, and they all the thing. I'm going to say one more thing about this, and then we're going to go. The thing that the big misconception people have about the South is that A, that everybody's dumb, and B, that like they're just all like, like right wing, and they don't care about this kind of stuff. That's not true. It's just like everywhere else in the country where, let's say I'm sorry to make it sound like liberalism is good in neither one is good or bad. That's how I feel. Okay. But in this case, there are people that take this whole thing more seriously here, and therefore that's a little more liberal, at least in this city. But they don't like crack down and be like, you gotta fucking do it, you're an asshole if you don't do it, like they do in New York and New Jersey, because there's just so many people.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's like that in Illinois too, at least in Chicago. Like, there's so many people in one place that they're just like, you can't do anything. Here it is a little more spread out, and it's a little more relaxed in terms of the feel. So therefore, nobody feels like super pressure to like wear the mask. You know, they don't feel like they're being told to do it. It's like, hey, we would like you to do this. Like, a lot of businesses are like, could you please? And, okay. And then everybody's okay. And nobody's like mad. And that's nice. Yeah. That's a nice thing. So anyway, I'm sorry. Another
it's okay.
Point is, come on home. It'll be fun. Are you going to live in Chicago, or do you live somewhere in like the city?
So I'm going back to my parents first and foremost in Alabama, just until like I have a place in Chicago.
That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it's not too long, because I'm already starting to look at jobs and apartments and everything. But the plan is to go back to Logan Square, like back, around the area where we had gigs with y'all, like campuses.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, I'm trying to go back to that area, so.
Okay.
Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of Emo Al's Tune Talks. I have been your host, Emo Al. If you enjoyed this episode, then please give me a follow on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Follow me over on Twitter at Emo Al Tune Talks and share this with your friends. I look forward to speaking with y'all next week.